I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday Live Local Talk. And as we talked about last hour, kind of looking at tomorrow as the start of session in Montgomery. And how many times have we been talking about what would happen? Would there be a special, and would it be, and then it wasn't, and then there was an idea. Maybe it was a special. I'd ask my buddy Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News. I'd be like, what do you give it, a 5 out of 10, 6 out of 10? Some days, Todd, you said, I think it's going to happen. Some days you say, there's not a chance we'll get a special session. And that was the right answer. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going?
It's good. It's finally time to all these things we wondered if they would happen or not. Well, we get to find out as they get started on Goat Hill officially tomorrow.
You're right. So this time tomorrow, they'll be gaveling in. And you're right. When everybody thought when the last session ended in May of last year, it was cut short by almost half because of coronavirus. That means they barely, and I promise you, more stuff gets done in the last half of the session. So you can't even say they got half of what they wanted done. It was probably less than half, maybe more like a third. So many important issues were left hanging out there when they adjourned. And everybody wondered, okay, were they going to come back and try to finish some of that stuff? They never did. The chances got smaller and smaller. Part of that reason is because the governor went ahead with some executive actions that sort of put some temporary fixes and temporary extensions on things. So, you know, the sky wouldn't fall. But even with those, the lawmakers have been eager to get back in session, get back to work. But it's going to be weird. I mean, I'm not really looking forward to going in there tomorrow. The State House is a not a building that's conducive to social distancing and things. It's going to be kind of eerie. But it's time. It's time for them to go and to do the people's business. They'll have this two-week period at the beginning to take care of essential bills, and then we'll see. We'll see what the rest of the session looks like after they get done with that 2 weeks.
Okay. Todd, I'm looking at a picture here of Governor Ivey there at the desk, signing away, and next to her are very tall stacks of paper that I guess is the lease agreement with the Alabama Prison Program. And I, you know, you got to go through all this stuff and check off every part. Do you think what do you think we're signing up for? My goodness, that's a lot of stuff there.
Yeah, so we broke the news on Friday that this was happening. This was actually going to happen. This long negotiated plan. You know, they want to build three prisons or contract with other companies to build three prisons that the state will then lease. Well, these are two of them. She has signed two of them with CoreCivic, one for Escambia County, one for Elmore County. And so that's that. I mean, there's lots that has to happen now, but those are the leases. Those are the contracts. So presumably they'll get to work on getting the land ready and starting to construct this. But yeah, look, it's controversial. It's not without criticism, especially in the legislature, where they have been asking for more detailed information on these leases, on these negotiated leases. The governor's office and DOC doesn't want to give that information. They don't want to compromise the contract and or the negotiations. But now it's all out there. Now these giant contracts are out for anybody to see. We got some of the information on Friday that showed that number of $88 million, the cap they wanted to pay on leases, it was actually going to be more. It's going to be $94 million and going up from there. The governor's office, DOC, says that's because of CPI, Consumer Price Index. It just costs more over time. By the time they're actually finished with construction, that $88 million becomes $94 million. But still, even with that said, members of the legislature, you know, kind of bristled at that, thinking that, well, we were told all this time it was 88. Now it looks like more. And so that's, you know, just a bit of a price shock there.
Well, yeah, let me act like a regular person that I am. If you contract with somebody to build something, you have that contracted price. It is incumbent upon the builder, right, to have factored in the CPI, right, to factor in if they're going to have these costs in there. That's, I mean, if somebody says, we're going to build you, Todd, we're going to build you this house, right? And the house is X number of dollars. And they come back and say, all right, but now it's going to be more because of CPI. That was on them when they quoted the price to tell you what it was going to cost.
Yeah, I don't think, I wouldn't say that this is like buying a house. I mean, you're talking
or
about
renting a house. I mean, you're having something spec built, right? Okay, you're gonna have an office spec built or whatever. You're in a. It just seems like this kind of. Oh well, what we say. I mean, when you put out an RFP or something like that, and you say here it is, and they come back, and somebody can bid lower than somebody else, and then come back and raise the price to where they wanted it anyway because they used the CPI. Shouldn't that all been discussed on the front end?
What I would say is that when, as this process has gone along, these two companies became the only ones who could even do the project,
mm-hmm.
Who get it done. So it's not like a mortgage, house situation where you could literally go anywhere in town. There are very few companies nationwide that can do a project like this.
So we negotiated from a point of weakness from the beginning.
Well, I would say certainly these companies had more strength than your typical okay. mortgage lender or
sure.
home builder, because it's not the same thing. I mean, there's no incentive for the state to pay more on this. I think the fact that they're factoring in CPI shows that they had to give away some things to get these contracts done and get these leases done. And I think that's an important factor here is you've got to remember that the governor, DOC, they're really serious about getting this project done. They want these new prisons. They want to close these old prisons and get move the ball down the field. It's been several years. Really, you could go back 20 years when we're talking about building new prisons in Alabama. It just hasn't happened. So I think if you talk to them, which I encourage you to, I'm not here to defend them.
I'm just asking these questions because
I would say they have a sense of urgency to get it done. And you're right. It's not a home buying situation where you can go anywhere in town. There are very, very few companies who can do this. And at least with this one company, CoreCivic, on these two leases, that's what they arrived at. And I think questions should be asked of the governor of DOC. Okay, why are we paying the CPI? Is that just part of it? So, yeah, definitely fair questions.
And the other part of it, and I'll do it this way. Maybe this is a more fair way to do it. I'm putting myself in the shoes of the company that is building out the prisons. And I'm going to my motivations are going to be obvious. It's what they should be, to be able to make the best deal, make the most amount of money for my company. I'm going to also see the situation when the judge's decision came down, Thompson's decision came down. I might be a little stickier on my price because I know that they're in a situation where they got to have my product.
And a product that you're one of the only few companies nationwide that could actually fulfill it.
Yeah.
So I mean,
that's
a
tough negotiation.
They're in a position of strength. I think you're right about the judge. I mean, we're under, the barrel of a gun here with the DOJ. And so, yeah, I think that probably did affect things. So we'll see.
Now, I wanted to, and as we go to the break, I've said it last hour, I've said it a couple of times, because the only reason I keep bringing this back up is I see on social media and people saying, oh, well, President Biden's going to ban private prisons, so that's going to, well, first of all, that would only be federal prisons, and second of all, this is a privately built prison, but it's not run as a private, this is no more than if you build out a strip mall and make a place for my toy store. You're not running the toy store. I'm running the toy store. I'm staffing it. You just build out the facility.
Yeah, and I think the connotation there, is, especially for private prisons, is that it's for profit. Like, if you incarcerate mm-hmm. more people, we make more money.
Yep.
I don't really think that applies here. This is a state-run facility that they simply lease. It's harder to make the argument that these companies make money off of incarcerations.
The way I looked at it, unless I'm missing something, yeah, you have ADOC staffing it. The price is going to be what the price is, you're renting space. Now, we can talk about that. We'll go back to – but the state is renting the space and then running the show once they're in there. That's not this core company or they're not running any of the correctional facility.
Right. I think, private prison makes money when states pay them to send them their inmates,
right,
as we have done in the past, because we ran out of room. Louisiana has some, and others.
Coming right back, more with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. talk about how to get his email. And I know this, I mean, I always talk about how important the email is, but right now, once we're in session, forget about it. You got to have this thing.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, getting right back into it with Todd Stacey. 1 second, we'll talk about how to get signed up for Alabama Daily News and his email. Save the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. That's my buddy Trey doing great work in Mobile and Baldwin counties. And here's my pro tip. If you made that New Year's resolution that you were going to get organized in 2021, here's a pro tip. Easier to organize fewer things. How about that, huh? Hot take. So get the junk gone. And it could be inside your house. You could have, instead of having a junk drawer in the kitchen, you have a junk room. Could be the swing set out back, the storage shed, storage unit you pay on every month and you don't even know what's in there. Get rid of the junk. House you're getting ready to sell, your office is cluttered, wherever it is. You got junk, you want it gone, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And make sure to set that appointment up because it's real easy. And a nice thing about it is, too, they actually consider the things like you have a job, you have a family, you have a life. They understand these things. And so when you go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK, they'll find a day that works for you and a window of time that works for you. They'll show up, quote you a price. If you say yes, they get it done right then and there. Check them out. 1-800-GOT-JUNK online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Also, speaking of websites, my buddy Todd Stacey. So the website they need to go to sign up for your email.
I thought you were going to say, speaking of junk, check out
that. I did not.
That actually sounds like a great service, by the way.
It is.
It's really easy. Look, you're right, Sean. Right now is the time you've got to be signed up for the Daily News because the legislature is starting tomorrow. We'll have all the information. Look, you can't go to the State House these days. You can watch it online, but we can go for you and distill it all into one simple email. Just go to aldailynews.com. Click sign up at the top, enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list.
All right. And yes, and there's so much to this. I mean, we talked about the prison part of this, and we'll be talking about that. Also, gaming, where are we? What's your, you hold your finger to the wind. Is this the year, Todd, we get Lotto?
I think it's more likely than not. And the reason why is it sounds like lottery is easy. You know, if you took a vote right now in the legislature, I bet it would have 60-70%.
Sure.
What isn't easy is getting the different casino factions on board with the same proposal. And, you know, anything that passes, it's likely to be a big proposal, including a lottery, including a casino deal with the Porch Creek Indians, the dog track guys, and probably also some sports betting. A big proposal, but to make that happen, you know, the big sticky wicket is the casinos and how they are treated and how they interact with each other. So I think they're there. I'm hearing that they're very close to a deal. I don't know if it happens in the regular because there's two reasons why. Number one, you're looking at a socially distant session. People can't even come in the State House to plead their case and voice their opinion to lawmakers. I think something like that is this big and this controversial, you owe it to the folks to allow them to come in and be heard at a public hearing. So I think it's better off done in a special session. Plus, the other reason, in a special, you can focus on these things and they don't get caught up in the budgets or caught up in, you know, the other controversial bills. They could actually hone in on one thing without distractions from the outside.
No, but what's going to be discussed is, come on, is how they're going to cut this thing up. I know we have some issues on the front side here, but saying, and I want the people to be able to be in there, but the power players in this whole thing are going to be what happens on the front end, right? Power players, like you said, the gambling interests already in the state, whether we're talking about Legacy Dog Track, we're talking about the Porch Bandit Creek Indians, we're talking about a possible future compact out there. And then on the back side of this, it's whether it's all going to the ETF or it's going to be split with the general fund. Or I heard, you know, that Representative Rogers already on what I've been talking about for years, right? My prison lottery plan.
Hey,
it came to life, didn't it? I don't know if it does anything, but somebody else is talking about it. I don't know if I should be proud of that or not. But those are the big players in this, right? It almost seems like it's because they know the people, they want it. So they're not even worried about the people if they want it or don't, because the people want it. They know the polling, but now it's how we cut the pie up.
Yeah, and that's usually like a lawmaker thing. And obviously, if you're the AEA, you're going to want it all to go to education. If you're, you know, if you're a healthcare group, you're going to want it all go to healthcare. So they're going to have to divvy up the pie.
What if I'm a citizen? What if I'm a weird, like a citizen and a taxpayer in Alabama? What about my opinion?
Well, exactly. And so everybody has their own opinions about how this money should be divvied up. That will be a big question mark, and it'll be probably something that is negotiated. It always is. Even with the plans that have come out in the past several years, it's always kind of a moving target. My point is, I don't think that is enough of a sticking point to stop them from passing something. If you've got a window of opportunity where, you know, the lottery lines up, the casino interests are on the same page, and maybe something also with sports betting, that doesn't come around too long. And I don't think there are going to be enough lawmakers to get hung up on the details of where it goes. I think you've seen enough conversations about that between, okay, we do need to save some for the general fund. We do need to have this in education, saving this for, you know, specific things. I don't think it's a hill people are going to die on.
And we'll see how this goes down. It's going to be interesting. Well, you'll pick it out and let us know early on when you see tells of, okay, maybe this group has been offered this, and this might mean they're you know, the stuff you pointed out in the past, like, oh, watch this, because this means there's agreement between this group and that group. Maybe.
Oh, yeah, us, look, yeah. I mean, I think the casinos, that's the big tell. If they come out with a plan, which they could this week, they could wait until next week, and you see agreement between the dog tracks and the Porch Creeks, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how you stop that bill. That's a rare thing. So, but there's always, like, individual lawmakers and different groups can have a great influence if they hold out their votes. And so I'm really looking to get the sports book issued. A lot of people don't talk about that, but it's something I hear about, especially from younger folks all the time, that they want the ability to bet on sports. But you may have some say from the universities and all that. So, you know, I think it's more likely than not that a big gambling package gets done, because I think we're just there, and especially reflected in the polling that the governor's office did with their report. I mean, it was just really clear that people are ready for a lottery. They're okay with casinos,
and they don't really care where it goes. And the, you know, the idea that, and we just have 30 seconds left, but the idea that all the other issues are for members of the legislature and these big interests, because they realize that people just want lottery. I mean, whatever it is, they want lottery.
Oh, yeah. They want the scratch-offs, and they want casinos. And I think you're going to be a little bit surprised at the scope and scale of this thing. It's not just legalization. They're going to make it a tourism thing, a big economic thing. But we'll wait for that later in the week.
We'll talk to you more about it when it comes out. Todd, as always, I appreciate our conversations, man. Thank you.
All right, man. Be good.
You too. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. Yeah, go get his email. Good stuff. All right, we come back. Alabama State Treasurer John McMillan. It's National Unclaimed Property Day. What might be waiting for you? We'll talk about that when we come back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135, FM Talk 106.5, online at fmtalk1065.com. Of course, you can go on there and get our podcast, 54 hours a week of live local programming. Those program things we do, we produce right here at our studios. They're up in podcast form. You can get them through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Deezer, any of the podcast platforms. But you can get them kind of a la carte. You go to fmtalk1065.com, just click the podcast tab and grab it there. And I'm setting this up because this may be one of those podcasts, this segment right here, you want to share with somebody in your family who has gotten one of the cards from the state saying they have unclaimed property, and say, I'm not going to do anything about it. I don't even think that that's real. Well, okay, let's try this. State Treasurer, State of Alabama, John McMillan, joining us now to talk more about this. Is this a real thing, Treasurer, that it's National Unclaimed Property Day?
It sure is, and it's really an important thing. As you said, our staff is fantastic. We have a little over $1 billion that belongs to other folks. It seems to me like it's about, I forget how many accounts. I think it may be 80,000 plus. But anyway, that belongs to those folks, and our goal is to try to reconnect them with property that, for whatever reason, they have are not, in most cases, not aware that they have. So it's very easy to go to our website. Just go to treasury.alabama, and that's Alabama spelled out, .gov, treasury.alabama.gov, to the unclaimed property. I think it's the first thing on there. And you can put your name in there, your company name, or whatever, and find out if we've got some of your property.
Now,
John, this is a real challenge for our folks. Our folks over there, I compare them to detectives sometimes. They're detectives in, first of all, trying to identify the rightful owners of any property that we are holding, and secondly, get it to them. And that can be a detective's job as well, because we have to, sometimes it seems onerous, but we have to be sure that we're getting it to the person that it's supposed to go to, because our program itself is audited to be sure we do a good job of that.
At Treasury, when you talk about this property, unclaimed property, we get these ideas in our head, I don't know, that it's like some unclaimed luggage or something. But like you put out, this is mostly money, right? I mean, this is money that's sitting there somewhere.
Yeah, it's all kind of things, but the bulk of it is money one way or another, whether it's unclaimed insurance proceeds or whether it's abandoned bank accounts. Abandoned, we get a lot of interesting things from safe deposit boxes that are abandoned. A lot of jewelry, diamonds. We've gotten a $40-plus thousand-dollar diamond in here before. We get guns. We, you know, just watches. You just name it. But the big majority of it is financial assets one way or another. And I'd like to remind people that you need to check every few months because, for example, the big majority, maybe as much as 70% of these assets comes in November and December. So if you checked in October, and as soon as we get these all logged in and identified, you need to come back every 2 or 3 months and just check it again. You never know.
You talk about the detectives here working on this. How does that happen? Like, how do they know that there's something missing? Do those banks call y'all and say, we got something for you? Or what's a simplifying? Give me like the simple version of how y'all find that.
Okay, let's just stick with the money part of it, and we'll stick with banks too. They just send us any assets that they have, financial dollars. They send them. We get a box every now and then from FedEx or somebody with a lot of cash in it. And wow. Then they send us an accounting of the last known, just say it came out of a safe deposit box. They send us the name of the last person that they had that box rented out to. And then we follow up from there and put that name on the website, if it's a name or company or whatever. And then we, as you said earlier, we also mail out 40,000 to 50,000 postcards a few times a year to the last known holder of an asset.
So I'm one of those folks, and I got one of those sitting on my desk at the house. Treasurer, what do I do? I mean, I apply? Do I get a check from y'all? How does that work?
You just go on that website and put your name in. Of course, in your case, we know that you have something, and so you can follow up. On the website, when you look at your name, we give you some idea of how much it is. It might say less than 100 or more than 100 or something like that. You can check that part of it on the website. But then to follow up, you have to get with our folks and turn in the credentials that solidly identify you as being the person that's entitled to that. Now, I mentioned the detective. I wouldn't say it's fun. They take it as that kind of a challenge, and they enjoy their work because it is a challenge for them. But we get into things, for example, somebody passes away with no will. And then we'll get contacts from two or three family members, ex-wives or whatever, trying to claim that property. So sometimes it takes some legal documents to even wade through that right of beneficiary.
Hey, just joining us, talking to State Treasurer John McMillan about unclaimed property. And I want to circle back to this because it got my attention, too. $1 billion, you said with a B, right? $1 billion in unclaimed property y'all are holding for people here in Alabama.
Yeah, that's right. This is, I think, maybe the second time that we have surpassed $1 billion. It normally runs, depending on how much of it we're able to get back to folks, it normally runs somewhere around $800 million to $900 million. This past year, we were able to return $36 million to the rightful owner.
I'm looking at this as well, too. I know the website you talked about, and we'll circle back around on that. But you also got people can get on the phone, too, if they don't want to do it on the web, right?
Absolutely. You can call 888-844-8400.
And somebody, I mean, there'll be an operator, somebody who can talk them through it, or how's that work?
Yeah, well, one of our staff folks will be able to get on the phone with you and help you with anything that we can hear, and also let you know what you'll be required to do to lay claim to that property.
Is it, and I know you said there are some circumstances where you have to have further court documents or whatever, but if it's a kind of a clean and easy direct thing, like I've looked at mine, when I do that, do I have to come to Montgomery? Do y'all send me a check? What does it look like if it's money, if it's not the Hope Diamond?
Forms, and we'll verify that information and then send it to you.
Okay. So we can get, and people are asking once again, the web address, where do they go?
To treasury.alabama, and the Alabama is spelled out, .gov. treasury.alabama.gov.
Okay. And I'm looking at that website right now, and it's pretty easy. I even navigated it there, and it takes you, and that next page it takes you to where it's alabama.findyourunclaimedproperty.com, where you plug in the information. That's all part of y'all's website as well, so people can feel safe about that.
Yeah, I want to again tell you what a great job our folks do. I talked about the detective side of it. Our folks actually broke a national case, you know, in this day of such advanced technology. There are people, two things people need to be aware of. Number one, there are people out there that make efforts to steal your property one way or another, even to the point of having your Social Security number or something. And we broke a case initially because we turned it over to the IRS and FBI, but a lady in Minnesota was going all around the country to other states online, stealing other people, you know, your name's on the website, not the other information. So it's easy to identify. And secondly, people do that same thing and try to, like somebody would call you and say, have unclaimed property in Alabama, and if you'll give me 10% of it or $25, I'll go get it for you. Well, everything we do is free, so don't let anybody tell you that you need to pay anything either. But
well
also
said.
Be patient with us because we want to be sure we're getting it to the right person.
Treasurer McMillan, thank you for your time. Thanks for bringing this to attention. I'm getting inundated with right now with requests for that website, so we're going to direct them on our social media platforms.
Fantastic. Since this press release went out, our calls have really picked up today.
Well, that's good then. Hopefully, we can get...
That's what we want. We want to get it back to the folks it belongs to.
Well, I'm one of those folks, and I'm looking forward to it. It does tell me it's. I thought it was maybe the Hope Diamond or a big safety deposit box full of sapphires. It's not, but it's still, hey, it can help for sure.
Absolutely, especially during this pandemic. Everybody can use all the help we can get.
I guarantee you that. State Treasurer John McMillan, thanks for your time, and we'll talk again soon.
Great. Thanks a million, Sean.
All right, there you go. So hopefully that helps y'all. Check it out. We'll put those links up. I'll put it up on the Twitter feed here in just a second. I'll have a second, too, because my buddy Dan Brennan coming in. It's time for a checkup. Dan's going to help us here in the last segment of Midday Mobile. That happens in just minutes. All right, be right back.
It is time for a checkup. My name is Dan Brennan on Midday Mobile right now, along with our guest is Dr. Kevin Donahoe of Alabama Orthopedic Clinic. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Let's talk about this new Globus Excelsius GPS. It is, well, what is it?
So the Globus GPS robot is a new platform that we're using with spine surgery. Robots have been around in other parts of medicine, OBGYN, general surgery, urinary surgery. But we use this to use smaller incisions and accurately place screws. We use it mostly for the lumbar spine.
Okay.
So we can put screws in the lumbar spine. That's the low back, through a very small incision that doesn't disrupt the muscle. And then we can do fusions where we stabilize a segment of the spine that's moving abnormally because of arthritis. And that can sometimes cause back pain and pinched nerves, which causes pain in the legs. So we can do this through small incisions and use the robot primarily as an aiming arm. So you have a CT scan, you take some x-rays in the operating room, and then you move this robot in and it gives you an aiming arm. So it shows you precisely where to put the screw, you know, before it goes through the skin down into the spine. And it's really been a game changer as far as the way we're doing spine surgery here in Mobile.
And it can't be much more important than doing spine surgery. So this is accurate beyond measure. The way you would do it in the past was all manually, I suppose, right?
Yeah, so
put a lot of pressure on the surgeon.
So you make traditionally you make an incision down the middle of the back and you expose all the anatomy, all the bony anatomy,
okay.
And you strip all the muscle away from it. And then you have some landmarks and you say, okay, I'm going to put a screw down what's called the pedicle, you know, here, here, and here. And you do that visually, like you're saying, and then you check it with an x-ray machine. And so you're exposed to the x-ray machine and you strip all the muscle away. And so then you sew them up and you say, well, I hope your back doesn't hurt anymore. So this allows us to go between the muscles where there's not as much disruption, and you can do it through a smaller incision with less disruption. What's kind of been known as minimally invasive surgery now, and it's really been good. We've had a number of patients we've been doing this for about a year, and instead of staying two or three nights in the hospital, they're going home the next day. And I'd say in a carefully chosen, you know, good patient selection, these people do really well with this type of surgery.
That is great. That is a game changer. So if you're having some sort of spine problem, they should most certainly talk to Alabama Orthopedic Clinic and find out if this is going to apply to them, correct?
Yeah, correct. It's not for everyone. People they compare their spine surgeries and they're not all the same. But we'll be more than happy to evaluate someone, especially if they've been told they need surgery, and particularly a lumbar fusion. I'd be more than happy to evaluate them and see if it can be done with a robot.
And again, that's lower back?
The low back, correct.
All right. Now, you're out of the hospital sooner. Would I presume then that the recovery is faster as well?
Yeah, I did a guy yesterday, and he's going home today, and he's been up with physical therapy today, the day after surgery. And, he has some back pain, of course, but his legs feel great, and his back doesn't hurt as much as he did when he came to the hospital. So the recovery as far as getting up in less pain and getting around and doing the things you want to do, I feel like it's going to be much, much faster recovery.
So there could be somebody listening to us right now that has had lingering back pain that's really bothered them for, say, a couple of years. This might be the answer to something they've been worried about or thinking there was not really a definitive answer. This might be the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, not all back pain's kind of created equally. So
okay.
This is particularly good for people that have instability where two bones are kind of wiggling around a little bit and that causes chronic pain. Or if you have a really bad disc or you had previous surgery on that disc and now you have a lot of back pain. So it has some, you know, that, like I said, there's some patient selection certainly involved in this, but you don't know until you've been worked up and had an MRI and been examined and x-rays and whatnot. So
you go through a few tests, a battery test, to find out if you're a candidate for the surgery.
If you're a candidate for the surgery, correct.
Okay. I'm talking with Kevin Donahoe, and we were talking. He's with Alabama Orthopedic Clinic, by the way. It is a time for a checkup is the name of the segment. And by the way, the Globus Excelsius GPS is exclusively in this area at Alabama Orthopedic Clinic, correct?
Correct. We're the only orthopedic group in town that's using it at Spring Hill Hospital.
So let's talk about the other benefits to this. I guess it would limit radiation exposure. Talk about that.
Yeah. So traditionally, when you put screws in the spine, you take a number of X-rays to make sure the screws are in the right place. This technology, you do take a couple of X-rays at the beginning of the case, but once you get those X-rays with the patient asleep on the operating table, you merge them with a CT scan, or known as a CAT scan, and then you can plan your screws that way. And then once you do that, there's maybe one check to make sure you like the screws after you use the robot, and then people in the room, the surgeon, the patient are not exposed to any continuous radiation.
So you've been using it for about a year. So just tell me about your satisfaction with it as the surgeon himself.
It's been a different way than I'm doing my lumbar fusions now. So like I was saying before, traditionally we make an incision, you strip all the muscle off of the bone, and then you pack bone kind of down in the outside on the lateral part of the spine, put screws in, and then you hope that their back feels better.
How does someone know if they're ready for that first consultation to sit down and hash it all out and see if they're could be a patient for this or something else from Alabama Orthopedic altogether?
Yeah. So, we see a number of patients. We see weekend warriors that have back pain that come in with a couple of days of pain. And those folks are pretty nice because pretty confident you can make them better with maybe a shot and some physical therapy. What I really like doing is seeing people and evaluating them for surgery to see if I can help them with what I can do as a surgeon. And so there are really only about 4 or 5 procedures that I do. So primarily in the lumbar spine, we're looking for, do you have a really isolated bad disc that needs to be fused that can help with your back pain? Do you have any instability that's moving around? We're really good at taking care of pain that shoots down your arm from a pinched nerve in your neck, or pain that shoots down your leg or both legs from a pinched nerve in your back. So those are the people that we really kind of get excited about, because those are the folks that we can more likely help with surgery. It doesn't mean we can't help folks. It just means that we probably get our best results with people that have those complaints.
And your satisfaction from those results has got to be great too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's always nice to, I try not to take anyone to the operating room unless I think I can make them better when we leave. So I'm pretty conservative with recommending surgery for people.
You can go by Alabama Orthopedic Clinic. You can check them out online. You can also call them, and you can find out more about this Globus Excelsius GPS. This is for lower back lumbar surgery. Dr. Kevin Donahoe, our guest today on It Is Time for a Checkup on Midday Mobile. Thank you for your time, doctor, and congratulations on not only, the success you've had, but the success you've had with these patients, giving them back a greater quality of life.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's been very excited to share it with you.